As you might surmise from the last line, this is the last of our Lord's discourse. Then there's one more section we'll have tomorrow, the reaction to all of this. People didn't want to go anymore with him, they didn't want to, and the rest. But today, we have the part of the text which most challenges us, and most challenges our understanding. And I would recommend that you read it today, but before you read it, get down on your knees and beg God for the gift of understanding. So the Jews quarrel. This is the third time in this chapter that we've had a remark about the Jews murmuring or quarreling. It evokes the whole desert. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in you. Now, does our Lord mean this literally? Absolutely. This Eucharistic bread and wine is the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. Divinized, transformed, but the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. And this is the challenge. Huh? So we say, I believe you, Lord. You are disposing of this mystery according to your omnipotence, according to your mercy, and I believe you. This is the divine or divinized flesh of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Think about that. You see how he has become in that sense. He is the promised land. That land which nourished his body, which is now our nourishment. But, as he has been pointing out to us from the beginning, especially that whole first part, which is faith. All the way through, as I pointed out, this is a discourse about the Eucharist. And so, but the first part is a discourse about wisdom expressed in Eucharistic terms. And the second part is a part about the Eucharist, the body and blood of Jesus, expressed in sapiential terms. So today, we're faced with this awesome mystery. We eat flesh and drink the blood of Jesus Christ. We do. And this gives us a physical contact with heaven, with Jesus. The miracles that have happened when people receive the Eucharist are innumerable. This is the source of healing. We have the gift of healing, the prayers for healing, but healing begins here, when his flesh touches my flesh. And so we're led to try to absorb in our spirit the truth of this. And only the Holy Spirit can do that. Only the Holy Spirit can make this real. Yes. Our Lord Jesus Christ died, left this mode of existence, rose into a whole new mode of existence, in which his flesh and blood, his physical, divinized flesh and blood, are our food and drink. That's how much he loves us. He wants to be that much a part of us, sustain us, heal us, convert us. Now, what are the dimensions of this, which is brought out a lot by Paul. If we all receive the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ, then we are all part of the same flesh. Everybody in this chapel is brother and sister to everybody else. And this is the building of the body of Christ. It's a real body. Now, why is this so hard for us to get? Because it's hard to get, for one thing, for sure. But you see, we have a very narrow view of the potential of the human person. We are going to have bodies like Jesus. They will be glorified, conformed to His, it says in Philippians. No, we won't be Eucharist. There's a special quality, a special mystery about our Lord's body. But it's to try to grasp this love, to feed on the body and blood of Christ, to be sustained. This is the food of martyrs, of confessors, of saints. And it can make us saints. But we have to acknowledge what the Lord is doing. Here we are in the same parish, the same community. Do we love each other? I mean, love each other? Everybody in this chapel is flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone, because we all receive the same flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what builds the church. I'm sure hearing all this like this, don't you want to just go pray? Don't you want to say, Lord, there is no way I get this. I believe it. No question, I believe it. But there's no way I can, that this gets real. I can't get my mind around this. But you will, if you ask and if you obey. And you will begin to understand without understanding. This is the source and summit of the Christian life. All good, all preaching, all healing, all whatever, caring for the poor, has its source in this living body of Jesus Christ. And at the same time, it's the summit. Everything else we do culminates in the Eucharist. This is where it all comes to fruition. Isn't that marvelous? So, let's be grateful. Try to fight with our poor, weak minds. We can hardly stay on the same track for more than 4 seconds. So that our spirits are impressed by the Holy Spirit. As you get ready for communion, beg the Holy Spirit to come and enliven your spirit so that you can receive His flesh.